Ryan Doyle, Tamara Cherry here on The Rush. It's Monday, which means we get a visit from your favorite mayor, my favorite mayor, Mayor John Tory. He's here on the program. Nice to have you, sir.
The only mayor, so I guess that isn't much of a distinction. Anyway.
Well, Bonnie Crombie was busy. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I see. Okay, the only mayor of Broadway. Okay.
There you go.
Nice to talk to you both.
We get a lot of text messages, and I don't know what your level of comfort is talking about it, but people see you on TV. They see you on the internet. Is there any haircut update? Has it happened? Do you still have a ponytail? Are you rocking a man bun? I understand it's trivial, but people are concerned.
I have a ponytail. I have not had a haircut, only because I haven't sort of figured out what I'm going to do with it when I get one. Like, you know, there are various people, including Barb and others, who say, don't go back to the way it was before, so do something different. There are people who say I should just leave the ponytail and the long hair, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, I got to figure this out for myself. But for the moment, I've just been busy, and I haven't. I didn't want to be the sort of first one lined up to get an appointment because there were so many other people who wanted one. But the people who cut my hair for many years have reached out and talked to me, and I said, well, I'll be in touch as soon as I figure out what I'm going to do. So
does Barb like the ponytail? Like, or does she have other ideas? Like, would she like a medium length? Or what different thing does she want you to do?
Well, I think she's made the ponytail a couple of times because she makes better ponytails out of my hair than I do. But, you know, I think she just likes it longer than it used to be and maybe not as long as it is now. And it is a bit of a mess at the moment. But, you know, these are good problems to have.
I'm envious you have choices.
Yeah,
I want to see a braid. Can Barb do a good French braid, even some pigtails, maybe?
I don't think my hair's quite long enough for that yet, but she probably could.
Let's talk a little bit more about this this issue. It's got a lot of substance to it. When we talk about Hydro One and paying out bonuses, this CEO is getting $640,000, which is a good chunk of change, even when you compare it to what this individual makes. I thought we were cracking down on this type of thing. So what's preventing the city from reining this type of stuff in?
Well, the word is contracts. What happened when we came to deal with a policy of the city that talked about a maximum percentage of salary that could be awarded by way of a bonus was that the people at Hydro, because it's run more like a private company and in the sense that it's, you know, it's run by a board of directors who are very distinguished business people, as well as three city councillors. And, you know, they, I think as it would be the case with most executives in businesses and other kinds of organizations of that size, have employment contracts that provided for what their bonus would be. It was a bonus that was earned based on performance, but it also could be at a percentage that was higher than 25%. So if we had unilaterally changed those contracts, then that could have amounted to constructive dismissal of those people, and we would have lost them. And so the board of directors of Hydro told us that they were not in a position to comply with the requirements of the city because of those contracts.
So, I mean, the story in the Toronto Star, though, it like you said, the board has told you that they're not in a position to do so. The Toronto Star sort of points it as the board politely declining the city's request to scale this back. I think to the average person, though, when it comes to the city versus the board, when they see that there are three city councillors sitting on the board, I mean, is there anything that can be done around these contracts, or are we talking about paying out millions upon millions of dollars, whereas it just wouldn't make sense? Like, it just sounds a little bit wacky, I think, to the average person that the city of Toronto is the sole shareholder. They have three members on the board and they still can't make this happen.
Yeah, now, first of all, the three members do not constitute a majority of the board, but I think as well, the three members who are on the board who are city councillors understand, as I believe most of the listeners actually do, that a contract is a contract. And many of these contracts were entered into before I was even the mayor, so some time ago, years ago, and they provided for the terms of employment of the people who work in senior executive positions at Hydro. And I think just like, you know, anybody, you sitting there or lots of other people out there listening, they would not expect anybody to come along and unilaterally change their contract other than to say, fine, you can change the contract in one way by letting these people go. And then you have to pay them, you know, some severance. So, look, it's one of those things. It's a less than ideal situation when we're trying to demonstrate restraint. I should also point something else out, which is, and I don't think we should get carried away when we talk about millions upon millions upon millions. It's not that much money. It's still a lot, but it's not millions upon millions upon millions, which is that Hydro, well run by its senior management and its board of directors, pays a dividend to the city that last year was $100 million. And we use that money to provide a lot of child care and a lot of transit and a lot of housing for people. And so we want them to continue to run that corporation well. And we don't want to be losing senior executives because we tried unilaterally to change their contracts.
It was an emotional and somber occasion yesterday afternoon as Toronto police officers lined the streets to pay their final respects to Constable Jeffrey Northrup, of course, the officer who lost his life in the line of duty in the parking garage located underneath Toronto City Hall. Has there been any conversations about a possible public or larger funeral for the constable? We were talking about previous officers who have lost their lives and how it seemed to be a much bigger deal in terms of the goodbye, in terms of a city, you know, saying goodbye to somebody who served us.
Oh, absolutely. There will be. But let's remember, I talked to the wife of Officer Northrup on the weekend, and the chief has been in conversation, as has the Toronto Police Association, with her. She's an amazingly strong woman, and my heart just goes out to her and to her children. And I had a very long and very direct conversation. I don't want to call it pleasant because, of course, the subject matter was deeply unpleasant, but you can be sure that she is determined to make sure that, as she put it, that the work her husband loved and committed himself to so much will be recognized, and it's up to her and the police service at the end of the day to announce what the details will be of that recognition, but it's most important that she and the family be happy with it, and we're in the middle of sorting all that out. But you can be quite sure his work will be recognized and the circumstances of his very, very untimely passing.
So, Mayor, then would you support maybe some bending of the rules so that we could have a big police funeral for Constable Northrup that would see, you know, potentially thousands of officers coming from across the country or even North America?
That's already in process, and I guess the North American part of it is more complicated by some matters at the border, but I think in terms of having any kind of celebration or of his life and any kind of commemoration of his service that the family wants and that the police service and police association want, I've spoken as recently as today with the Premier about this, and I can just say that will not be an obstacle. Again, we have to make sure that what is put on here is something that the family is most happy with at the beginning and end, and we have all been in conversations with Margaret Northrup about that and her family, and the details of what she wants to do will be revealed I'm sure at the appropriate time.
The next issue, obviously trivial in comparison, but a lot of people are wondering when it comes to the Toronto Blue Jays. We woke up this morning to the idea that they could be back at the Rogers Centre by the end of the month. Do you have any updates on that? Is it just basically a waiting game at this point for things like the Jays and TFC to get back in action up here?
Yeah, to be fair, each of the governments has had to review a very detailed protocol that these teams put forward, all the sports teams. So that's point one. And they put an excellent protocol together. It's probably 150 pages long or more. And those all have met with the satisfaction of Toronto and Ontario Health, which is the two organizations that are looking after the health aspects of this. Then you move on to the slight added complication of the fact that in a league like this, unlike, say, the CFL, there are teams that have to come and go from the United States. And so there's the issue of the border that comes into it, and so that is the issue that's being examined at this moment in time, because you got to have somebody to play against at the Rogers Centre. So all of that is in process, and the city and the province are supportive, and I'm sure that we'll come to some resolution. I won't put a date on it, but I think everybody's working a way to try and make it happen as soon as possible.
Now, is your understanding that if, let's say, the date that was kicked around for the Jays is July 30th, a 10-day homestand, that would make the most sense? Would there be fans in the stands for that, or is that even still up for debate?
It's still up for discussion, because if you sort of, for example, TFC are going to be playing their first home game probably just in advance of that here in Toronto, and that will not have a full house because the requirements are such, similar to what you see with the Stanley Cup games in Montreal, similar to what you've seen elsewhere. There is not any thought at this moment, in any event, that you would have stadiums full of people, like 30, 40, 50,000 people. So that's the kind of thing that is being sorted out in addition to some of the complications of the border. But I think the important thing to mention at this juncture, Ryan, is that everybody's positively motivated to try and make something happen. And I think it depends as well on how far along we progress with respect to the movement from stage two that we're in now to stage three, because that obviously allows for more latitude when it comes to indoor and outdoor crowds.
Mayor Tory, thank you so much. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Thanks a lot. Look forward to that.
Mayor, can I just point out, somebody has an excellent idea on the text board for your haircut. The
What's
Mayor
that?
Mullet.
A Mayor Mullet. Oh, I'll tell them that under active advisement.
There you go.
Goodbye.
Toronto Mayor John Tory. On the Rush every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5:35.